So last week we began a whole series on prayer, based on Pete Gregg's prayer course. So we're doing 8 weeks looking at what it means to pray, different aspects of prayer. And Gavin kicked us off by taking us on a whistle-stop tour through the scriptures, through the Bible, starting in Genesis, looking at how God and man walked together in the garden. God created us with the purpose of being with him. And then we moved on through the Old Testament and then through the New Testament and finally to Revelation, where we see again God, that our ultimate destination as human race is to be with God, to worship him and to be in his presence. And that is kind of the point. And what Gavin was saying is that this really is what prayer is all about. It's about being with God. Prayer is our way of us, on human terms, connecting with and of being with God. Now, just before I talk about what I'm going to talk about today, which is the next in this series on adoration, I just wanted to remind you that on Mondays at 7 in the prayer room, there is a prayer meeting, the church is holding. Last week Gavin introduced us to a type of prayer called the Examen, and this is an amazing prayer from the church's rich tradition that just helps us to make small improvements in our lives, to get to know God better, and to just make our walk with him, you know, more fruitful. And when I was thinking about what the Examen, you know, how to describe and explain what the Examen is, I realised there was quite a good analogy with the British Olympic cycling team. So for those of you who are into this or know anything about it, you'll know that in 2012, we had a very successful Olympic cycling team. They came and they smashed loads of records and they won tons of gold medals and they completely blew the other teams out of the water in the velodrome and elsewhere. And when asked, like, how did this happen, basically the explanation given for how they managed to beat all the other teams hands down was really through this process of something called marginal gains. So they did several things to just try and make sure that their team could make very small gains in very small areas, really silly little things that you might think are completely meaningless or complete waste of time, but when you add them all together they make a big difference. So for example, they got a surgeon to come in and train the teams how to wash their hands so they didn't pass germs on so much, they didn't get as ill, and they were more fit for training and more fit at the events. They also did something with pillows. Basically they took pillows around to all of the different venues that they went when they were training, when they were in competition, and they did that specifically so that they could get a good night's sleep and be ready for training, ready for events, having slept well. And finally they had a white van which they put all of their bikes into. Now previously the vans had been whatever color, but they specifically chose white for their vans because they wanted to see any dirt in the vans, tiny little specks of dust and dirt that could actually interfere with their very delicately balanced bikes. And actually it was really important for them to clean the vans out, and them being white meant they could see that dirt more easily. And it seems like a very small thing, all of these things seem small, but together they make a big difference. And really that's what the Examen is about, except in a spiritual sense. It's about us noticing where God has been in the day gone past, taking the time just to think about that and think about what are the small changes we might make in our lives to be more aware of him in future and to see where he's at work and to improve our walk, our Christian walk. So enough about the prayer meeting, enough about the Examen, moving on to today's subject, which is all about adoration. And, you know, Gavin's message last week was very simple, just was saying, you know, prayer is about being with God. Well, today's message is equally simple. And it's really just to say that we are called to adore God. And one of the ways in which we should do this is that our prayers should just be really personal, you know. We should relate to God as a person and not as some distant thing in the sky. You know, God is not a vending machine in the sky. He's not somebody we should just come to off the bat and be asking things from. And let's just ask for all the things we need in some big shopping list. Prayers go in, you know, like coins in a vending machine, and answers come out. You know I can be quick in my life to jump to requests in my prayers. I'll close my eyes and I'll say, Lord, please can you help me with X? Please can you fix Y? But you know, if I treat my relationship with God like this, then jumping to request straight away, then my relationship with him is really functional, and I'm not treating him like the person that he is. I'm not actually relating to him in a functional and healthy way. Some good examples of this might come from my family life. You know, Isaac, my son, lovely little boy, he's very demanding of me, but when I come home from work, when I walk in the door, do you know what he does? He goes, Daddy! And he runs and he wants to give me a big hug. You know, Daddy's home. And really what he wants to do is be in my company, and sometimes I'll play with him and he loves that. Other times, you know, I'm just tired and I want to sit down and, you know, relax for a few minutes, and he's, you know, equally happy with that, because he'll go off and play by himself, safe in the knowledge that I'm in the room with him, and that makes him happy, and he's not trying to get something from me, he's just loves to be with me. You know, I could say a similar thing about me and my dad. You know, my dad's a retired electrician. He's great with DIYs, you know, much better than me. And he helps me out with a lot of stuff in terms of fixing the house. He's also retired, so he likes to look after Isaac, babysit him, and it gives him real joy to do that. But, you know, if I only ever rang my dad when I wanted something from him, when I wanted to ask him if he was free to babysit or to fix something, then that wouldn't be a very healthy relationship, a healthy father-son relationship. It would be very functional, wouldn't it? Finally, just with my wife Katie, you know, if I really want to drive this point home, you know, Katie and I take a date night every week. We do this so we can just spend time with one another and enjoy each other's company. And I think, you know, it's one of the reasons why there's a, you know, still a good spark in our marriage, because we spend time just being with each other, and our relationship is more than just a functional one. And, you know, Jesus knew this. He knew that our relationship to our Father in heaven needed to be like this. And we see this because he taught us the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus didn't just pluck the Lord's Prayer out of nowhere and make it up on the spot. He was adapting an ancient prayer called the Shema, which is something that the Jews of his day and still today say. And, you know, in adapting this prayer, one of the adaptations he made was to change the you know, O Lord bit of the Shema prayer to Our Father. And he teaches us, therefore, doesn't he, in the Lord's Prayer, to pray Our Father in heaven. You know, and just putting God and talking to God in those terms as a Father helps us to understand who he is better and how he wants us to relate to him. He wants us to relate to him personally. You know, the word Father is the word that we often translate it to and use it to. But you know, in the biblical language, the word possibly translates better as, it's Abba, and it translates better as Daddy, perhaps. You know, a very affectionate and loving term for someone you care deeply for. Now, if we look at the Lord's Prayer as it continues, it then goes straight into adoration, the main focus of what I want to say today. It, you know, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Adoration is a deeply personal thing. It's something we only do with or towards people that we have a relationship with. You know, I talked about my date nights with my wife. You know, sometimes write her cards. And in the cards, I write down some of the things that I love about her. This is a way of adoring her. But it would be weird if I said some of those things about people which I had very little relationship. It wouldn't make sense. But it is. This is a form of adoration. We do it with God, don't we? We sing our praises to God. In church, we sing them in hymns and songs, and this is our way of adoring God. It's about saying some of the good things that we love about him. You know, some people are better with words than me, and they'll write love songs to their you know, to their partners, to their loved ones. We do this to God with hymns and songs. That's what it's about. You know, just to open up the two readings that we've had today, we've had a reading from Acts, and you know, in this Acts reading, what we're seeing is a prayer. We're seeing a prayer from the early church, who were concerned because some of their number have been basically locked up and lent on and told, you know, stop preaching about Jesus, and this boldness with which they've been preaching is under threat, because they're worried that the same thing that happened to the Jesus they followed around for the last 3 years might happen to them. Are they going to get arrested? Are they going to be executed, you know, crucified possibly? And this is a real concern for them, and they don't want to be timid about this gospel, which they know is so important. And so they're, you know, you can imagine their prayer might be, oh Lord, help us to not be afraid. But you know, that's not where they start. They start by adoring God. And one of the ways they do this is to just list all of the good things he's done, to repeat to him the story of what's happened recently and how he's at work in the world. And do you know what? They don't need to do this, you know, for God's benefit. They're not telling him that he's done these good things because, you know, somehow he's forgotten. Actually, they're doing it to remind themselves how good he is. We sometimes do this in our adoration, don't we? We retell the story of Jesus. We retell the story of our lives and the things that he's done. We remind ourselves of these things. And that is a great form it's a form of adoration, but it's a great way to help us draw close to God by reminding ourselves through adoration what he is like. You know, the Luke reading that we see is really just, it's Jesus adoring God. It's praising him. It's him being joyful towards God. He's seen something good and he's just exclaiming how good God is. You know, God doesn't need that, okay? God doesn't need, you know, he's not some kind of egotist that lives or feeds off of our praise. But actually, if you consider that the things that we adore, the things that we love, the things that we give our praise to are the things that we want to be like and are most likely to become like, then actually praise and worship and adoration, these are just key ways in which we can grow and become more like God. And God knows that, which is why he calls us to adore him. So adoration is super important in praise, because it puts us and puts our situations in perspective, just like those apostles who were under threat from the authorities, and their boldness in preaching was under threat. Just by adoring God, they reset the perspective before they really ask for anything, and it helps them to just remember who he is and what he's doing in their lives. And we should do the same. We should adore him, because it helps us reset our perspective towards him and reminds us who he is and how good he is, and helps us to become like him. So if you are in a small group, you will probably, or you may be working on the material, the Pete Gregg material, and this week you're likely to come across the term PRAY as an acronym used for helping us to find a way to pray. And in that, Pete Gregg goes through four things. He uses each of the letters of PRAY for a way of shaping us a prayer time. Pause is the first one for P. R is then rejoice, A is ask, and Y is yield. And you'll notice there, rejoice, number two, that really is kind of part of it's adoration, and this is what we're talking about today. But I want you to notice as well that the first one, pause, does not require us asking God for anything. And the last one, why, yield, really is talking about us giving in to God's will and not ours, and that also doesn't require us to ask God of anything. So three of the four things that Pete Gregg thinks are important are not asking for stuff. They're just means by which we know God in our lives and are present to him and the things that he wants for us. And yes, there's a moment for asking, but actually we need to be much more about listening and much more about getting our head in the right place and our perspective in the right place towards God in terms of prayer. And adoration, rejoicing is a big part of that. And I'd love you to keep this in mind through the rest of the service, because there's going to be lots more praise and lots more adoration taking place in our service. And I want you to see this as prayer. You know, remember that our aim is to be with God. And so as we rejoice in who he is, as we celebrate in him, as we adore him, remember our aim is really to be with God. And this is prayer. Thank you.